Praise God. We've been going through the book of Galatians, and we're in part 5 today, and we've been looking at chapter 2, and we'll finish up chapter 2 today. We're going to begin at verse 11, and we're talking about where Paul opposes Peter. Paul stands up against Peter, and sometimes we look at Peter, James, and John. These were the high officials. And Peter, James, and John were the high officials of the day, and you know, and the apostles. And we've been talking about how Paul was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was the very strictest in the Jews' religion. There were Pharisees, there were Sadducees, and different ones. But the Pharisees were the very strictest. They kept all the rules and regulations, and if you didn't keep them, they would hunt you down and, you know, get you in trouble. And as you know, the Apostle Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, when he was still Saul, he went out and hunted down Christians and brought them back to Jerusalem to have them put in prison or killed to try to wipe out this Christianity. And Paul got saved on the road to Damascus and became the greatest apostle of the apostles, the greatest leader of the early Christian church. And Paul went out, and we talked about this before, Paul went for three years into Arabia, and God gave him the gospel to bring to the Gentiles. Now, it was the same gospel in one sense that was to the Jews, just that the Jews could not let go of their old customs and rituals and ceremonies and all these different things, and God wanted Paul to go out to the rest of the world and preach the gospel to them, and the rest of the world didn't know anything about the Jewish customs. So God gave the gospel to Paul to go out and tell the world that they're saved through faith in Christ alone. That's it. There's nothing to do with any works that you've done yourselves. And so this is what Paul started to do. But as Paul went out and preached that, there was another group that were Jews that got saved, and they couldn't let go of the old customs. So they came everywhere Paul went. They came after Paul, went in there, and they said, well, Paul's not really preaching the full truth. Paul's not a full-fledged apostle. He never went around with Jesus. He got saved after Jesus was resurrected and gone back into heaven. So he doesn't know as much as Peter and James and John and some of these other fellows that spent time with Jesus. And so anyway, this is the kind of background that was there. And so when Paul heard what was going on, Paul went up to Jerusalem and straightened this thing out, because everywhere Paul was preaching, these fellows were coming behind and tearing down everything he was doing. And Paul went up to Jerusalem. We talked about it last week. But today we're going to talk about now Paul, and I should have probably had a map, but Paul was in Antioch. And Antioch was a Gentile Christian. It was Gentiles, mostly Gentiles. I mean, there was a scattering of Jews, the same thing. Everywhere you went, you had mostly Gentiles, and there was a scattering of Jews in the congregation as well. But Paul went to Antioch, and he was helping out there and preaching and different things. And eventually, Peter came down and spent some time in Antioch with them. And this is where the story takes up now, what takes place. Peter was there for a few days, eating and fellowshipping with them and different things. And when I say eating, the reason I'm saying that is because the Jews and the Gentiles ate different kinds of food. Okay, the Jews were not allowed to eat pork. They weren't allowed to eat any. I mean, there's a big list of it. You go back to Leviticus. We don't have time to get into all of it now. But I've told you before, I've got people in the family that came from a background that believed that it was wrong to eat pork, wrong to drink coffee, wrong to drink tea, wrong to have a Coke or anything because there's caffeine in it. And they're very strict in what they believed. And this is basically what was going on back there. They had their very strict rules as well, what they were allowed to eat, what they weren't allowed to eat. Remember, we talked about last week at a sheet. God gave Peter a vision of a sheet coming down from heaven, and on that sheet there were unclean animals. Compared, you know, to the Jewish understanding, these are unclean animals. And God said to Peter, he said, Peter, arise and kill and eat. And Peter, I mean, this was 10 years after Pentecost, after the church was born, after Pentecost, after the resurrection of Jesus went back into heaven. This was 10 years later, 8 to 10 years later. And so God said to Peter, he said, Peter, take one of those animals, kill it, and eat it. I mean, this is God telling him to do something that God told him before not to do. And Peter couldn't understand it. He said, I can't do that, Lord. And he said, I've never eaten anything like that. He says, it's unlawful for me to eat that. See, Peter was still bound by the law. I mean, just 10 years later, Peter was still bound by the law. And so anyway, God said to me, he said, Peter, and this happened three times. The sheet came down, and Peter, you know, wouldn't do it, and the sheet was lifted up and came down again, and three times it happened. And finally, God said to me, he said, Peter, he said, anything, he said, I've cleansed, don't you dare to call unclean anymore. Now, as I told you before, God wasn't showing Peter that just for the sake of the animals that he's allowed to eat. even though that was changing as well. But God was showing him, because Peter, as a Jew, considered the Gentiles filth. They were unclean. They were a different race. We had nothing to do with them. They're not full humans, or, you know, they want nothing to do with them. And God was saying to Peter, he said, don't you look at the Gentiles like that anymore. And he said, matter of fact, he said, there's some fellows coming to the house now. He said, well, you're right. Now, Peter was upstairs, the Bible says, on the roof, in a trance, in a vision. And God said, there's some men coming. And he said, I want you to go with them. He said, don't ask any questions. Just go with them. And sure, you know, these men came. They were Gentiles. And Peter could have come up with all kinds of reasons why he couldn't go with them. But God already told him, don't you say anything. You just go with them. And so Peter went down to Cornelius' house. It was a Roman centurion. And started to speak the gospel to them. As a matter of fact, even when Peter got to his house, before, you know, as Peter went into his house, he said, now he said, listen. He said, you know, he said, it's unlawful for me. So he's still bound by the law. This is 10 years later. He said, it's unlawful for me to come in here to you, a Gentile. But then he said, God showed me that I shouldn't call you unclean anymore. Now, so Peter had all this background, okay? Remember last week we talked about Peter in Acts chapter 15, where he went up to Jerusalem to straighten out this mess, because there were people coming in and says, oh no, you still got to circumcise the Christians as they get saved. The Gentiles got to be circumcised just like the Jews were. And you got to keep the dietary laws, you got to keep the Sabbath day, you got to keep all these different things. And you got to be just like the Jews. In order to be a good Christian, you got to be a good Jew. That's what they were basically saying. And so Paul went up to Jerusalem to find out, talk it over with, you know, the head apostles. And the Bible says Peter stood up and even defended Paul. And he said, do you remember, he said to the people that were there, he said, remember, he said, God used my mouth, he said, to open up the door to the Gentiles. That's where he went to Cornelius' house. He said, God used my mouth, he said, to open up the doors to the Gentiles. And he said, God showed us that he made no distinction between the Gentiles and the Jews. We're all the same before God. And so anyway, this is where the story was at last week we're talking about. And Peter stood up and he defended Paul's gospel and defended Paul's apostleship. And so now, this is sometime later, all this is in the past now, Peter comes up to Antioch, to the church where Paul was helping out in leadership there. Peter comes up there and he came in and he started to eat with the Gentiles, which, you know, was a big change for Peter. He was coming in and probably had ham and cheese sandwiches, I don't know. But, you know, which the Jews weren't allowed to eat. But they were having something that was, you know, was against the Jewish custom. And Peter was sitting down and eating his meal. And let's bow together in prayer when we get into the story, because I don't want to get into it and have it done before we pray. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your many blessings. You're such a good God toward us, God, and we thank you for the revelation of the grace and the mercy and the love of God. Now, Father, as we look into the Word of God, we approach it reverently and humbly. And, Father, we count it a very big privilege, Lord, to be able to look into the very Word of God, Lord, the things that you will want us to see and understand. And, Father, we pray that you would just guide us, Holy Spirit, enlighten our understanding. And may we see things in this, Lord, that would help us to live in the freedom that Christ purchased for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Galatians chapter 2, and I've told you before, Galatians is broken up in three different sections. The first two chapters, second two chapters, and the last two chapters. The first two chapters, Paul defends his gospel. The second two, Paul explains the gospel. And the third two, chapters 5 and 6, Paul applies the gospel. Okay, now, so we're going to look at these different scriptures here this morning. So Paul says, or Peter, Paul's saying here, he said, but when Peter was come to Antioch, he said, I withstood him to the face. Now you think, you know, Peter, as I said, Peter was coming out of his, out of the woodwork, so to speak, of Judaism and everything else, and coming out and starting to understand there's a freedom in Christ, that you don't have to keep all these rules to try to be saved and all these different things, to try to be righteous before God. You can't do it on your own works. And Peter was coming out of that. And Peter was there in Antioch, and he was eating with them, with the Gentiles and everything else. So Paul says, when Peter was come to Antioch, he said, I withstood him to the face. Now, something was going to happen in Antioch that Paul felt was a good reason to stand up and have this, you know, out in front of the church. He said, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Now, let me just throw something in here. Remember when Paul went up to Jerusalem. We talked about last week. Paul went up to Jerusalem and he said, I met with them privately. Remember that? He said, I met with them privately, those who were of reputation, the leaders of the church. He said, I met with them privately. They went into a back room somewhere and they sat down and discussed this and came to the conclusion what you're going to do. Now, Paul wasn't doing that because he was sneaky or anything else. Paul understood that if he opened this up in front of all the church, there's going to be a hoopla there in Jerusalem, right in the seedbed of Judaism. If Paul comes in there and says, listen, you fellows are wrong, there's going to be nothing but chaos. You try to do that to, you got to understand something, and I say this lovingly, but the Jewish people at that time, okay, Judaism at that time was just as radical as Islam is today. Okay, this is what Paul came out of. This is what Peter came out of. And so you can see the difference that they're going to have to change, their ideals. And Paul went up to Jerusalem, right in the very seedbed of Judaism. So Paul met privately with the leaders. Okay, now, because there are still people in the church that still had, were hanging on to the old and everything else and things like that. So Paul said, when Peter came up to Antioch, he said, I withstood him to the face. And you think, well, Paul, how come you never did it privately this time? But here's the reason why. What Peter did in Antioch was a thing he did in the public. He did it in the church, out public in the church, and he had to be corrected out public in the church. I can remember years ago, we were in our home church, and our pastor was up speaking. You think church was supposed to be very quiet and, civilized? He was up speaking, and he said something about some doctrine or something that was somebody else in the church that didn't agree with. And it was a lady that came from a different church. She wasn't part of our church, as such. She did eventually start coming to the church. But as he was preaching, she jumped up and she said, you'll burn in hell for what you just said, she said, right in the middle of the service. And I was only a young fellow at the time. And he jumped up and he was preaching and he come right out and he said, in the name of Jesus, you sit down and shut up. And her mouth just snapped to and she sat down just like a little puppy dog. And, but I thought, man, what are we getting into here? This is roughly what was going on here where Peter was at. And Peter did something, and Paul jumped up right to his face and stopped him, right in the middle of all that was going on there. Okay, let's move on so we get the rest of the story. He said, for before, now notice that word before. Okay, now, I just gave you a little bit of the before we started here now. He said, before some people came down from Jerusalem. Now you got to understand, Jerusalem was a Jewish church. These people, remember last week we talked about there's Judaism, which is the Jews' religion. And then you got Christianity, which is what Paul was preaching. That salvation comes through Christ. So you had some of these people over here that believed what Paul was preaching, and they came over and accepted Jesus as their Savior, but they couldn't let go of some of their old traditions. So these were called Judaizers. They were half and half. Okay, they wanted to follow Christ, but yet they couldn't understand how you can be saved without keeping the law. So these people here, these are the ones that he's talking about. These were in the Jerusalem church. Now, not everyone in Jerusalem church believed that way, but there was a group of them in the church that believed this way, in the Jewish church, that believed you still had to keep the old covenant. You still had to worship on the Sabbath day. You still had to, obey all the dietary rules. You still had to go through all the ceremonies and the rituals and all these different things. You had to try your best ability to keep the Ten Commandments. And the better you kept the Ten Commandments, the better you were before God. This is what they believed. Okay? Now, Paul was saying, no. He said, none of us could keep that. He said, over here, he said, Jesus kept it perfectly. And he credited all of his faithfulness, all of his righteousness, he gave it to us. So we stand in his righteousness, not in our own trying it, but what Jesus already did for us. You understand? So this is where it's at. Now, so Peter was over here in the Antioch church, and he was sitting down this particular day, and he was eating whatever they were eating, probably pork stew or something. I don't know what they were doing. He was just eating with the Gentiles. And Peter, no doubt, was probably feeling pretty free. You know what it's like sometimes after you're in bondage so much, and all of a sudden you find out, it's not a sin to do that. It's not a sin to do. Now, don't misunderstand. Don't get out and start running out and trying everything out there. I'm not saying that. But, some of you, I make it gentle. Some of you, okay, I just say for the women's sake, because you see, what religion does? Religion very seldom attacks the man. It's always the woman. Is that right? You know, religion lays all these rules for the women. You got to have long skirts, long hair. Like one fellow said, long tongue. We're not down through. I stop at that. But religion comes up with all these rules. And I can remember growing up, and most of you can't hear. We grew up in a church, I've told you this before, you had to wear a hat. The ladies had to wear a hat all the time. Right? My mother wouldn't dare go to church without a hat on. She had the same hat for about 25 years, but she had to wear it to church. You know? And everybody was the same. You know? And I can remember you weren't allowed to have your ears pierced, let alone your nose. I come over on this side. And I can remember, we were talking about this the other day, in Toronto years ago. Now, I was a pastor at this time. We had Tanya and Tracy and Stephanie. And we were walking through a mall, and the girls were after me for, you know, 2 or 3 years. Dad, can I get my ears pierced? Can I get my ears pierced? Can I get my ears pierced? And I knew from Scripture that there was nothing wrong with it. Okay? I knew from Scripture there was nothing wrong with it. But yet, my background, what was drilled into me from the time I was old enough to understand going to church, that was a big sin. God wouldn't you have ears pierced, you've been born with earrings in. You know, you would have been born with holes in your ears, or if you wanted to, you know, all these different things. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff was always drilled into us. And I was, you know, I don't know, probably 30 years old. That's a long time ago now. And I can remember walking through the mall, and the girls wanted to get their ears pierced, and Pat was just as bad as she was, and she was, Steve, let them get it done. Let them get it done. And I just could not give in. And finally, I knew from Scripture, and one of the Scriptures, if you got problems with yourself, here's a Scripture for you to think about. Ezekiel chapter 16. God said to Israel, he said, I found you. He said, when I found you, he said, you were like a child just born. He said, you're still into blood. He said, just like a child that was just born. He said, the afterbirth wasn't even clean enough of you. He said, you're down in the mud. He said, somebody discarded you, threw you away. He said, but I pick you up. He said, I wash you. He said, I cleanse you. He said, I put earrings in your ears. This is God saying this to Israel. And he said, I even put a ring in your nose. And here you go. And God said, I looked at you, and he said, you're beautiful. I mean, this is God saying this. You know? And we were drilled in, it's wrong to have this, it's wrong to do that, it's wrong to do something else. And I can remember, in the mall, I said to Pat, I said, go and get them done. And I left, this is gospel truth, I left and I walked through the mall. And I was crying and asking God, if this is sinful, please don't hold it against the girls. Tradition can bind you so much. Can bring you under so much bondage. And this is why Paul, remember we talked about last week, Paul stuck to his guns and says, you're not bringing that tradition into Christianity. And this is why Paul did it. Because it can destroy you. Put you into bondage. You'll have no joy serving God. You just serve God out of routine and you know, duty. But God wants us to enjoy him and enjoy the Christian life. Anyway, get back into the story. He said, certain came from James. Now, James was the pastor in Jerusalem over the Jewish church. And he said, before these people came down from James, those Judaizers, remember this church right here got the Judaizers in it? He said, before they came down to Antioch, he said, Peter was doing okay. He was out there fellowshipping with the Gentiles. He was eating the same food they were eating, drinking the same things they were drinking. He was enjoying himself. He was enjoying the freedom that he had. But he said, as soon... Okay, I got to do this so I keep it in order. He did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, when this group over here came down to Antioch, he said, when they were come, Peter withdrew himself. Peter picks up his plate and goes over and sits down with the Jews. And he said, I haven't got time to look at all that and keep going. I'll just give it to you and we'll scoot through to him after. He said, and Peter did that. He said, he took his plate and he went over and he sat down by himself. He withdrew himself from the Gentiles, so much so. Now, Peter should have known the difference. There is no difference. There's no distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles. But he said, so much so, he said, that even the Jews that were there in the Antioch church, they did the same thing as Peter did, took their plates and went over and sat down apart from the Gentiles too. And he said, what's even worse than that? He said, even Barnabas. Now, remember Barnabas we talked about last week? Barnabas was a fellow that was full of love and grace and mercy and everything else. He said, even Barnabas got caught up in this hypocrisy. And he said, Barnabas took his plate and he went over there too. And Paul was just sitting around, just looking at this and what was going on. It's like if we were out there in the back room all of a sudden, and we're all enjoying ourselves, and all of a sudden somebody walks in, and maybe some of your former pastors, I don't know. And you get your earrings in, and all of a sudden you start pulling your earrings out, and you start tucking them in your pocket, because you don't want him to see it. And Paul jumps up and he said, listen, that's wrong. And this is what it, well, this. Notice why he did it. He feared them which were off the circumcision. Peter was afraid. Remember Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, Paul said, am I trying to please man or am I trying to please God? Now what was Peter trying to do? Peter was trying to please man. And Paul said, this is the reason. He said, I withstood him to the face. He did this publicly right in the church. It's as if we were out there in the back fireside room and all of a sudden, you know, people start to separate from each other because, oh, I can't sit with you because you're this race or that race or something else. You know, we'd have to stand up and say, listen, that's not right. You can't do it that way. And this is what Paul was doing. He said, Peter feared them which were after circumcision, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that even Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation or with their hypocrisy. Okay, now, he said, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, Paul said, what they started to do, he said, was totally against what the gospel stood for. He said they didn't walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Now the truth of the gospel is that you're saved not by keeping the Jews' religion, not by keeping all these ceremonies, not by keeping all these rituals and eating certain foods and not eating certain foods and doing this and doing that and, you know, keeping this celebration, not keeping that celebration. He said, when I saw that they were not living according to the truth of the truth of the gospel is that you're free from all these things. They were trying to, you know, go back under Judaism. He said, when I saw that they were living not according to the gospel, he said, I said to Peter before them all. Now notice here, Paul starts out, and if you read down through it, Paul, first he starts out, he said, Peter, you. He starts pointing his finger at Peter. And then he changed it, he said, we. And then he goes on to say, I. He used those pronouns. First of all, Peter, he said, you know the difference. Peter should have known the difference. Remember, Peter was a guy that God used to show that there's no difference between the Jews and Gentiles. So he says, if you, being a Jew, lived after the manner of the Gentiles. He said, Peter, you're a Jew, you got saved, and now you're living like the Gentiles, which is good, because that's where God wanted you to live in the freedom. And he said, if you, being a Jew, lived as the Gentiles and not as the Jew, he said, why do you compel the Gentiles to live like them? You understand this? He said, if you're living here in freedom, why are you trying to take this group now and put them back there and tell them you can't be a real good Christian unless you're a Jew? Because what you're doing by your actions is saying that the Jews are still better than the Gentiles. And he said, why are you doing that? He said, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, we're not from the pagans. Okay, the Jews referred to the Gentiles as the pagans. He said, we who are Jews by nature. Notice what he says here. Knowing something. We know something. And what was it that they knew? He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Peter, he said, we're not going to get in God's presence without justification. We've got to be righteous to stand in God's presence. And he said, we're not going to get in God's presence without righteousness. And justification means that you're declared righteous. That's what the word justified means. You're declared righteous. He said, we're not going to get into God's presence without righteousness. And he said, we know that we can't get it by keeping all these rules. We can't. You can't be saved by keeping all these rules. He said, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. He said, as Jews, right here, we got saved. We came over here. We gave our hearts to the Lord. We became Christians. And we know that we can't be saved by keeping all these rules. The only way we can be saved, he says, is by faith in Christ. And he said, knowing that, he said, we have ourselves as Jews accepted Christ. So his point was, why are you trying to get the Gentiles not to act like the Jews? You know, this is where the freedom is at. This is where the gospel is at. Why are you trying to take these people and put them under the bondage of this era when knowing that that is not going to work? That's what he's saying. I'm paraphrasing a bit, but he says, we ourselves, we believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. And notice what he says here in the last part of the verse, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The law was in operation, if that's the right word, in effect, for 1,500 years, from the time of Moses to the time now of Christ when Jesus died. The law was in effect for 1,500 years. And they had to keep the Ten Commandments. They had to keep the rituals, the rules, you know, the ceremonies and all these different things. And they had this going on for 1,500 years. And after 1,500 years, Paul gave the final conclusion of it. He said, there's none righteous, not a single one. So you think if that would have worked for 1,500 years, somebody would have been able to keep the rules. But after 1,500 years, there's not one single person righteous by keeping this rule. But Jesus came and fulfilled it perfectly. And what God did, he took Jesus' righteousness and gave it to me. So Peter said, I'd rather get over here and let Jesus keep it for me than try to keep it myself. You understand the difference there? It's his righteousness. God gave us his righteousness because we couldn't keep it. So he says, Peter, he said, we knowing that, he said, we ourselves came over here to Jesus and we got saved, knowing that you can't be saved by keeping those rules. He said, why are we trying to get the Gentiles now to keep the rules? It doesn't make sense. This is what Paul's arguing there. Okay. Now notice what it says here. I'm just going to use this verse again for a couple more things. First of all, look at the word justified. See, is there three times? Justified, justified, justified. He's talking about being justified or declared righteous in God's sight. Okay, declared to be righteous in the sight of God. This is what this verse is talking about. Notice what he says also about justification. First of all, he says, is not justified by the works of the law. Over here, you can't be justified. That's what he's saying. You understand that? Not justified by the works of the law. Notice how many times he says this. Look at it again. He says, not by the works of the law. And then the last part of the verse again, he says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So he's stressing the point, if you want to be justified, you got to get in Christ. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. So he said, if you want to be justified, you want to be right in God's sight, you got to get into Jesus. You got to accept what Jesus did. This is the whole point of what he's getting at there. He said, but, now notice this, somebody says, you got a big but? There's a big but. This is a big one. He says, we're in Christ over here. Okay, we're in Christ, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, he said, if we find ourselves still sinners, if we're still sinners here, you understand what he's saying? I'm trying to make it understandable. He says, if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we still find ourselves to be sinners, he says, does that mean that Christ made us sinners? Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? That's what King James says, but he said, are you trying to tell us, Peter, if we got to go back here to get justified, you mean to tell us that we still have sin, that Christ has made us sinners now? You know, you understand what he's getting at there? He said, if we're in Christ and we still have sin and we still got to go back to Judaism and be justified, you mean to say that Christ made us sinners? And then he says, God forbid. Now the word God forbid is not, in the King James is translated God forbid, but it's not exactly the way it is in the scripture, in the original languages. The word God forbid, and I should have looked up the Greek word, but it means a very strong wish for something. Okay, something, it's a strong desire for something, but this one got a negative attached to it. You know, like, we would say, I wish it would be so. But this one had a negative attached to it. And the way it should be translated is this, may it never even be thought of that way. May you never even think such a thing, that Christ would be a minister of sin, that Christ would have brought us into seeing. Okay, let's move on. For if I build again the things which I destroyed. Notice what Paul's saying here. Now notice what he started out. He started out, he said, Peter, you know the difference. And then he says, we who were Jews. So he started putting up Peter saying, you. And then he says, we. And now he's getting to the I part of it. He says, for if I build again the things which I destroyed. Now you need to understand where Paul's coming at here. He says, if I go back here again. He said, I already gave up this. This has been destroyed as far as I'm concerned, Paul is saying. This is over with. This law, trying to keep the rules myself. He said, I'd rather be in what Jesus did than try to keep it myself. So he said, if I go back there again and build this again, if I build again that which I destroyed, he said, I make myself a transgressor. And the word make there in the newer translations, I prove that I'm still in sin. If I go back here and try to live under this again, I'm just putting myself right back under sin again, because no one back here can be saved. No one can be justified by keeping these laws. So he said, if I go back there and try to do it myself, he said, I prove that I'm still a sinner. Okay, this is what he's saying there. Now, for I through the law, he said, I'm dead to the law that I might live unto God. Now, what does he mean there? Paul said, I through the law. First of all, the law condemns us because we can't keep it. What is the wages of sin? Death. Okay, so Paul said, I through the law, I'm dead to the law. The law has proven that I'm a sinner. So he said, therefore, he said, I realize that there's absolutely nothing I can do. There's no way in the world that I can keep all these rules and keep it so perfectly that I'll be righteous before God. The Bible says all of our righteousness in God's sight is like filthy rags. There's nothing I could do or you could do to be righteous. So Paul said, if right here, he said, I'm trying to be righteous, he said, the law has already condemned me. The wages of sin is death. Now, so he says, through the law, he said, I'm dead to the law. Okay, I'm dead to the law. In other words, I just gave up. I've realized that there's nothing I can do, so I'm dead. Some people says, you know, something that probably is in your background, you say, listen, I just close the door on it. I'm dead to it. I don't listen to it anymore. I don't do it anymore, or whatever the case might be. Maybe you're an alcoholic before, so listen, I'm dead to that. I don't get involved in it anymore. And that's what Paul's saying. I'm dead to the law. And he said, that I might live unto God over here. Okay, that I might live unto God. I died to that so I could live over here. And then he says a verse which is very familiar to everyone. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Remember that? Now, let's read the context of what Paul's saying there. Over here, I couldn't do it. I had to die to law. So he says, and he's explaining what he just said. He said, through the law, I am dead to the law. And this is how I died. He said, I died when Christ died. Now, Paul wasn't saying I hung on a cross like Jesus did. Paul wasn't saying that. But he said, when Jesus died, I acknowledge that he paid for my sin. So he said, as far as I'm concerned, he said, when Jesus died, I died. Because I had to die to the law. The law held this over me, this death sentence. He said, when Jesus died, he paid the death sentence. He said, I died in Christ. Understand? This is what when we baptize people. You're dead, you're buried, you rise, you walk in a new life. That's what Jesus did. You know, so when you're baptized, you identify yourself with Christ. Now, the baptism don't save you, but you're just showing publicly what took place on the inside. So he says, I am crucified with Christ. So in one sense, he said, I'm crucified. He said, but I'm still living. Okay, nevertheless, I live. He said, yet it's not me that's living now. He said, yet not I, but Christ is living in me. Now let's get at this again. Over here, I couldn't do it. So when Jesus died, I decided, well, I'm going to let his death count for me as well. So he said, I died when Christ died. As far as the law is concerned, I died in Christ. I'm dead to the law. The law holds no more control over me. You read this in the book of Romans as well. The law has got no more control over me. I've died to that, trying to keep the Ten Commandments, trying to keep the rules, trying to keep, you know, worship on the Sabbath, not eat certain foods, not wear certain clothing, He said, I died to that. I died in Christ. He said, but I'm still living. He said, but yet now, he said, the strength that makes me live now, he said, it's not my own strength. He said, but it's Christ living in me. You understand what he's saying there? He said, Christ is living in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, this life that I'm still, you know, living in, he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he says, I died in Christ. Even though I died in Christ, I'm still living. But he said, it's really Christ now living through me. And he said, the life which I now live in the flesh, he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, my faith is totally put on him. I'm not trying to keep these rules anymore, these rituals. He said, I'm totally into Christ. And he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, let's move on. Last verse. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Remember last week we talked about God's grace is God reaching down. We were down there on the earth. There's nothing we could do about it. None of us were righteous. No one could pay the penalty for our sins. So in order for somebody to save us, Jesus had to come down. The Bible says God gave the law through Moses. Okay? But he said grace came through Jesus Christ. Okay, in John chapter 1 there. The law was given through Moses to try to keep these rules, and nobody could do it. He said, but grace, talking about Jesus, came. There's a difference. God himself, this is why we talk about Emmanuel, God with us. God came down with us. Grace came in Christ Jesus. So when we're here, we can't keep the rules, we can't keep all these things that we need to do to try to measure up to this righteousness. Next week and the next couple weeks, now we get into chapter 3 and chapter 4, we start to talk about what the law and grace really is all about. And that's more exciting to me than what we're even going through now. But he says, right here, I couldn't do it. Grace reached down. We're down here on the earth. We had no way to reach up to God. All of our works, everything, everyone fell short. Right? The only way to get in contact with God is get into Jesus. He came down almost like a, that's probably a stupid example, but just cross my mind. It's almost like he came down and take a plane load back. You want to get there? You got to get into that plane. You got to get into that ark. Okay? Jesus referred to as the ark. We got to get into the ark, just like Moses or Noah when they built the ark. People had to get into the ark for safety. You got to get into Jesus for safety. If you want to get to God, there's only one way. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. So grace reached down. We're down there on the earth. We couldn't do anything about it. And we were reaching up and couldn't do anything. All we had, God sent his Son down, and we had to put our faith in him. This is what he's talking about, the faith of Christ. We put our faith in Jesus as our Savior. I'm going to die to the law. I'm going to give up trying to make it by all my own good works. But I'm just going to put my faith and trust in Jesus. Then he said, we can have access to God. Okay? Now, so this is why, you know, they say, by grace are you saved, as God reaching down, through faith. We're on the earth is through faith in Christ. By grace are you saved through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, and then he says, not of works over here. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So the only way you're going to get into heaven is get into Jesus. Okay, you got to leave the works behind and trying all these rules and rituals and ceremonies and doctrines that, you know, people told us was so important and everything else. Now, don't misunderstand. Doctrine is important, but doctrine can't save you. The only thing that's going to save you is the blood of Jesus. We were just saying it earlier. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Water baptism can't wash it away. Speaking in tongues can't wash it away. I've heard people say, and I'm sure you have as well, oh, you can't be a real Christian unless you're spoken tongues. You know, that's adding things on. Remember back in chapter 1? Paul said, if anybody comes, he said, with a different gospel. He said, I don't care. He said, if I come, he said, even if an angel from heaven comes and tells you that there's a different way to get to God, he said, don't believe him. Paul said, as a matter of fact, he said, let him be accursed. Anathema is a Greek word. Let him be cursed, forever banished from God if they're going to come in and try to tell you there's a different way to get to heaven. There's only one way. And that's through what Jesus did for us. So he said, if anybody comes with a different gospel, and you find it when you come to different gospels, you got different books and everything else for you to read and things like that. So, oh no, you really can't understand until you read the truth of what we new revelation we got. That's a false gospel. Paul said, if anybody comes preaching something different than this, don't believe them. Don't believe them. So Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Paul, in other words, he said, I don't mess with this here. This is so precious. This grace of God, being able to get into heaven freely. He said, this is so precious. He said, I don't want to frustrate it. He said, I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to bring something else in to try to twist it or anything else. He said, for if righteousness came by the law, if righteousness, if you could get to heaven by keeping these rules, he said, Jesus died for nothing. You understand what he's saying there? He said, if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Jesus wasted his time. But yet for all, there's still people, you know, they say, well, you know, I know I got to be saved. I know I got to put my trust in Jesus. And I put my trust in Jesus. Plus, I got to get baptized in water. I got to do this. I got to do something else. I got to get all this. Now, don't misunderstand. Baptism in water is important. Speaking in tongues is important. Tithing is important. But it'll never get you saved. You understand that? I'm not saying these things are wrong. I'm not saying baptism is wrong or any of these other things. But if you're trusting them, I've been baptized. You know, like the Pharisees. Remember the Pharisees? Jesus talked about the two men that went up to the temple to pray. One was a publican, one was a Pharisee. The publican came in and he was all caught up in his own righteousness. And the Bible says Jesus told a story to show the point of people to trust in their own righteousness. Here they're trusting in their own righteousness, keeping the rules. And the Pharisee said, I thank you. He said, you know, I fast twice every week. He said, I give tithe of everything that I have. You know, and he's talking about all of his wonderful works that he did, so God's got to accept him. But Jesus told a story. He said, right next to him, he said, there was a publican. Now, a publican was a tax collector. And nobody, even this day, still don't like tax collectors. And they were even worse back in that day. But the publican came in, and the Bible says he smote his breast. He realized. And if you read in the original Greek, with the scriptures written in, he was saying, when he said, Lord, King James says, Lord, he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. In the real language, when he spoke, he was in hearing distance of this fellow speaking. And he heard what he was saying. And he said, the King James says, or the original Hebrew, Greek says, he said, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner, the one that he's talking about. Because the man said, I thank you. He said, I'm not like other men. He said, extortioners and adulterers. And he named all the bad sins that this fellow had dealt with. And he heard everything he was saying. And he cried out to God. And the Bible says he smote his breast. He said, God, be merciful to me. I am that sinner. And Jesus said, this man went to his house justified, not that man. He was counting in his own righteousness. This man, matter of fact, in the original Greek, when it's talking about, when he said, Lord, be merciful to me, that word merciful, he says, Lord, be the propitiation for me. Now, that's a big long word, and it sounds complicated, but it's not. He said, be the propitiation. Remember back in the Old Testament, they had the Ark of the Covenant. It was roughly the size of our communion table there. And right in the middle of that Ark of the Covenant, there would be an angel on this side, made out of gold, another angel on that side, and the Bible says that their wings were facing each other, angel on this side, angel on this side. And right in the center of that table is where God's presence dwelt. And sometimes the priest would see it called the Shekinah glory of God. There would be a glow that would come there from God's presence. And once a year, the high priest would sacrifice an animal, and he would take the blood, and he'd bring it in, and he would take hyssop, which is like a flower, on a stick, and he would take it, and he would sprinkle different things. The Ten Commandments were in there, the law, you know. He would sprinkle all these different things, and then he would take the blood, and he would place it between the angels on the altar. He placed blood there, like this, signifying that the blood was in God's presence, showing that somebody died for the sin. Remember Jesus? He died for sin. The Bible says when Jesus died, he went with his own blood into the very presence of God in heaven, the Bible says, and into the tabernacle in heaven, and brought his blood in before the Father. And when he brought his blood in, the Bible says his blood was incorruptible blood. It wasn't like the blood of bulls and goats and animals that could pass away and fade away. His blood is incorruptible blood. The Bible says he sacrificed one sacrifice for sin forever. Now, Paul understood that, and this is what Paul was saying. Paul said, I'd rather be in Jesus. He said, Peter, you know, he said, none of us could keep this. We couldn't keep it. Our forefathers couldn't keep it. None of us could keep it. Why are you trying to tell the Gentiles that this is a better way? He said, we know our only way of being justified is in Christ. And that's the same thing today. The only way for any of us to be justified today, made righteous in God's sight, is to be in Jesus. Not trying to keep all kinds of rules, not trying to believe that there's some other revelation has got to come from God to show us how to get to heaven. We have the revelation. Paul said, if anybody comes with a different gospel, don't believe them. We're not saved I heard somebody say one time, talking about, you know, the Jews believed that they're righteous and the Gentiles weren't. He said, we're saved by grace, not by race. That's a lot of truth to that. We're saved by grace, not by our race. Sometimes we think, well, we're Canadians, we're Americans, we're British or whatever. You know, we're Christian nations. Everything. No, you're not saved by your race. You're saved only by the grace of God. I was reading something this week, and they said in China, because a lot of people, you know, in the third world, they believe that most of the Christians in heaven are going to be Americans. Because, you know, America's supposed to be a Christian nation. And there's a Chinese pastor stood up. He said, no, he said, America's going to get the shock of her life. He said, the most Christians going to be in heaven, he said, are Chinese. There's something over 1 million Chinese a day coming to the Lord. In a communist land, where they're not allowed to have churches, not allowed to preach the gospel. Over 1 million Christians a day in the last few years have been coming to Christ every day. 1 million people. That's something to be thankful for. But listen, you're here this morning. And I know, listen, I grew up here. I've told you stories. I grew up in this, trying to keep the rules, trying to please God by how good I could keep rules. How good I could, you know, not eat this, don't touch that, don't do something else, don't wear this, don't, you know. Now, don't misunderstand. We've got to be modest. We've got to, you know, use common sense. But, you know, if you're counting on that to save you or make you a better Christian, you've missed the whole point. Here, this is in Adam. In Adam, Paul said everyone is going to die. Over there is in Christ. You'd be stupid to try to stay here in Adam, try to make yourself. But all these masters of keeping the rules and everything else could not keep it. What makes us think that we can keep it? Let's give up that. Paul said, die to that. Get over here into Christ. Come alive into Christ. I don't know if it'll make any sense to you this morning or not, but this is what the gospel is all about. Is by faith, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Okay, it's by God's grace, what Jesus did, and our faith in that. That's the only way to get righteous before God.